This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Right back at it, 7 o'clock hour on a Thursday. Freezing cold temperatures out there. Stay warm, stay safe.
Last one of the year, yep. Hopefully. Well, the winter, I should say. We don't know what December's going to bring.
Right. Just got to get through today, and then the best is yet to come. You get baseball tomorrow on this radio station, 96.5 The Fan. Royals at 2 o'clock. Vern at 8 o'clock today. 6 o'clock tonight, both live in Arizona.
Hot stove.
You can get all of our beautiful content yesterday. Was it nice? Oh, yeah, you're not an Instagram guy. But maybe Twitter, you saw it. Videos live from Arizona. Got to see, like, pitching matchups. You got to see Sal hit. Got to see Bobby hit. Got to see, like, all these videos.
Well,
like,
man, now you're catching the bug, huh?
Oh, come on, man. Baseball guy.
Yeah.
But, like, you know.
I'm talking about watching the spring training video.
Oh, I won't watch the games. But, like, it's nice to see, like, Vern's content in Arizona. Yeah. Have, like, a guy on the field giving you everything you want. Plus, like, Vern's like, rather be here than there, suckers.
Suckers. Yeah, that's right.
Rather here than there. I think Alabama's ready to go back home. The number 4 team in the country in college basketball got absolutely handled last night by the Mizzou Tigers. Big win for them, 110-98. Missouri's got some buzz, man. They've got some real juice going into the right time of the season. There's a lot of positives in Columbia. That was a big win last night for them. And a lot of it goes to buying and selling your product, which is Denny Gates. And Dennis Gates has, I mean, hit rock bottom last year, man. Like, no conference wins. SEC was on the come. And now the SEC is the toughest conference. Jay Billis even said, if you win the SEC tournament, that's almost better than winning the national championship this year.
All right. I mean, I love when people say that and whatnot. But still, I mean, that winning that championship, winning that March Madness tournament,
I think
tournament
what
is
he's
hard.
Referred it to is, yeah, but I mean, the SEC, I think 4 teams in the top 10, 2 teams in the top 5. Missouri's going to jump. I think they were either ranked 13th or 15th, depending on where you look at your college basketball polls. They should move inside at least top 10. 10, maybe 10 is where they go. But
SEC at 1, SEC at 2, at 4, at 6, at 7, at, you know, you just keep going.
How many SEC teams will make the Final 4?
That's kind of a... I mean, that's
one, at most two, probably.
I mean, I don't know. Like, how many, you know, SEC teams made the Final Four in the college football playoff? How many Big Ten teams?
None, right? In the SEC, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So you have these great regular seasons, and then you get to the postseason, and that's obviously what you're going to be judged on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess what he's trying to get at is like the toughness of winning an SEC tournament where all the nice teams are. That's a very impressive 5 to 4 day run. Whereas, like, yeah, March Madness is great, but like you might have to play like Providence in round one, then you'll go play like a Seton Hall in round two. Then it gets really juicy in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four. But going back to the Missouri topic, huge win last night for them at home, sellout. Sell your product, and Dennis Gates did that. He went winless in the conference last year. He's going to be a top 10 team this year, maybe when the season ends, one of the better teams in the toughest conference in the land, and you can tell that his players are bought in. They're all doing this quiet face. the shh face. He had a transfer last night, scored 31 as a junior from Duke. The portal works for some guys. It's working for Dennis Gates in the way that it's not working for Bill Self.
How do you retain guys from the portal, too? Like, you recruited this Duke player. How do you make sure that he stays at your school? Because I think the cool thing to do is now enter the portal every year, right?
Sure, unless you sold a product that is believable and desired. And if this guy's career turned around because of Dennis Gates, who's to say that he doesn't have friends that are younger or older that are looking for that team, and then you build it around that product that is a believable. Because, like, if this guy's going to go out on the forefront and say, hey, this program works, Gates is the man, we got a couple other kids that are here right now, like, you got this Caleb Grill kid who's a insanely talented that nobody knew who he was, and now he's a three-point threat. He had a absolute mammoth of a double backwards dunk that didn't count.
Awesome, yes.
And the way that they're playing and the way that they have shown you that he has done this is very impressive, because you look at the transfer portal for KU, and I'm just using KU Mizzou because that's it's relatable. Hunter Dickinson has not worked out. The guys they've gotten from other schools have not worked out. But this is a team in Mizzou that went winless last year in the conference. And this year, when the conference is absolute highest, they're one of the top three teams in that conference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's insane. And they just beat Alabama, who was ranked two in the country just a week ago, but they lost to Auburn, the best team in the country, also SEC, and they just got handled by Mizzou.
I'm going to be interested to see, you know, in the next 10 years how this NIL thing and portal really works in college sports, because I think there needs to be a happy medium now with having these one-and-dones, hit-it-and-quit-it type of seasons that we see, and find a way to kind of sustain that. I don't know if it's ever going to come back to the mean where people go into the portal, then they find their new school, and they're just happy there. It seems like in college football and basketball right now, everybody's a one and done at your respective universities. It's now up to the coaches, and this is why a lot of these coaches are getting out, because not only are you trying to recruit new players to come into your system, you're trying to recruit the players that are in your system to stay in your system so you can keep some sort of continuity. And that's going to be the interesting thing as we move forward in this. How many of these teams are able to kind of keep this continuity and keep these players in their school and not let them go to the transfer portal? Because, you know, as soon as the basketball season's over, everybody and their brother enters the transfer portal, which they should. I mean, they've got to find the best opportunity for themselves. But from a coaching standpoint and from a building something standpoint, it's brutal for these coaches. It really is. And I think, I'm not crying for them, they make a lot of money. But, I mean, I think the biggest part of their job now is to try to convince a lot of these kids to stay at their school and not go somewhere else. And you know what does all that? Money. And you've got to have that money rolling in for these kids to get paid now at these universities. Otherwise, they're going to go somewhere else. If somebody's offering me $1 million and you're offering me $500,000, peace out, man. I'm gone.
I think it also believes in it goes to the system and the coach, because since the NIL and portal has been wild, the only team that's won it has done it in the traditional way.
I know. It's crazy, right?
So, I mean, yeah. Hurley's done it, yeah. I mean, twice, and he did it with guys that stuck around. So, I mean, it depends on, like, your product and the guy that's running the ship. And I think that, like, a guy like Dennis Gates, who's not a big name, who has a believable message. I mean, last night's postgame interview was absolutely insane to me. Watching his entire team come over and, like, just, like, get him in, like, a huddle, and then for him to go, you don't need to hear from me, you need to hear from this kid, and gave it to the transfer from Duke that had 31 last night, and then he talks, and everybody you can see is just there, whereas, like, you see these other teams that win, shake hands, high five, whatever. That's a team that, like, a guy like Dennis Gates can keep a team like Mizzou there, because that's a team in Mizzou that does that. Like, if you're one of the, like, Cooper Flagg could go get more money other than Duke. He literally could. He could go anywhere he wanted. I mean, you can get $7 million to go to BYU.
That's right.
But he's not.
Yeah.
Because guess what? John Shire's there.
Yeah.
His system is believable. Now get
it is Duke. Yeah.
It is Duke.
Yeah.
It is Cameron. Like, it is a great place to live. But, like,
and that sets you up for life. Like, Cooper Flagg doesn't have to do anything, and Duke will take care of that guy for the rest of his life.
And Gatorade. But, I mean, like, that's the thing, is, like, if you have a – it's so much – college sports is so much based on the head coach. Even if it is transfer portals, you know, taking over, NIL taking over, like, people are going to Colorado because of Deion.
Because of Deion. I wonder if that's going to continue, too, now that his son –
If he keeps winning,
you know,
he's got to win.
And that's got to win.
You've got to win, and it's got to be believable. And if you do that, they normally go hand in hand.
And you got to pay. Like that's right. The old school. Win and be believable and be a coach. Everybody, all right, I want to go play for this guy. How much are you paying now? And that is the biggest factor now. I mean, you talk to anybody in college sports, and look, professional sports is the same way. I was having this conversation with my wife yesterday or the day before about Trey Smith, and she's like, well, why can't he just take less money and stay here? I go, because it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work that way in college sports. The majority, as they say in these commercials, 97% are going to go pro and something else. This is their opportunity to make the money. And if somebody offers you more money, you go. It's pretty, you know, simple. It's called the, you know, capitalism. It's what we're based on in this country. Somebody's going to double your salary or give you more money to do that same job. You're gone. It's pretty simple. And anybody who says they won't owe loyalty, you're full of it, you know? And so you've got to take that money in the opportunities that you get. So it's going to be interesting to see what the NIL coffers look like after this season at Mizzou and how many alums are scratching checks and maybe how many less alums are scratching checks at Kansas at this point in time, looking around going, what is our money really going for at this point?
Mizzou's also got a lot of money, too. Like, they have a lot of donors that, I mean, I think some guy just dropped off, like, $60 million last year unannounced. Yeah. Just was like, here's $60
million. Which is unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why you give that kind of money to college athletics. I just don't. Like, there's no return on investment. You're not investing in something and getting dividend checks, right? Like, you're getting nothing for that money. I don't understand the big donors for college sports. And with college sports now, too, are you focus less on building buildings and more on the players and their salary? I think you kind of have to be right now. You know, it was an arms race for a while to build these stadiums and these locker rooms facilities, and the facilities.
And they will come.
But now, if you have a crap facility, but you're giving me $1 million to show up, I don't care what the locker room looks like. So maybe you need to redirect these funds that you're spending on stadiums and buildings and direct that towards the players, because the players are the product.
If you build it, they will come.
Used to be that way, yeah. I don't know how much that factors in anymore.
Move to the SEC, rebuild your football stadium. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're starting to get transfers with NIL and Portal, and all of a sudden, you get a guy like Eli Drinkwitz and Dennis Gates, and you change the culture of your entire university.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's been a great move.
Yeah, for sure. Coming up on the other side, though, we get our guy, Ben Maller, because it is Thursday. It's in the 7 o'clock hour. Plus, there's a running back that might get Mac a little bit excited like he did when DeAndre Hopkins was announced that he came to the Kansas City Chiefs. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5, The Fan. It's all brought to you by our friends at The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, what a great night for sports tonight, USA versus Canada. All of a sudden, America has been captivated with this hockey matchup that's going to take place in Boston tonight. I've been waiting all week for this game. I can't wait. How excited are you?
Yeah, even I don't have the hockey gene. I used to cover hockey back in the day, my early days in radio, but I'm fired up. I'm planning my night around this, and I don't normally talk much hockey on the overnight show, but I am anticipating that something crazy is going to happen in that game. I'm a little concerned because I think the U.S. is favored in that game, and everyone's expecting them to win the game because they're on U.S. soil, and I'm a little worried they're going to choke tonight. But I am excited about it. I'm fired up. I don't know how it can match what happened on Saturday, though, right? It's like that big, amazing event because that was unexpected what happened on Saturday. Nobody expected that to happen. But now, yeah, you know, are the fans going to boo the Canadian anthem? Right? Do the Canadians then start the fighting? Like, there's so many questions that we'll have answers for tonight. And the buildup is so crazy. I saw the ticket prices on the secondary market. It's like a Stanley Cup game in Boston, and you just like, can it? I hope it does. For my friends that love hockey, I hope it lives up to the hype. I am anticipating. I'm excited about it. And I very rarely get excited about a hockey game. For me, this is a big deal.
No, it's huge. And you know, the conversation then becomes, how does the NHL kind of catapult and take this and grow their game? And I think they got a perfect way to grow this game. Just start running promos that say, hockey, America, fights, let's go. And I think America would be all in on growing the game of sport, growing that sport here in America.
Yeah, and it's got to annoy the old school hockey people because they've, over the years, they tried to get rid of fighting from hockey, right? The NHL, they've done everything they can to limit it, and I know it's lawyers are involved and liability and those type of things. They're worried about lawsuits, downstream liability of people getting concussions and brain injuries. But from a pure business standpoint, That is why people love what happened. It wasn't the hockey. It was the fighting. And then they got into the hockey because of the fighting. And we're at a point now where you can't have fighting and all that. I hope whoever replaces Gary Bettman in a couple of years, the next commissioner is like, maybe we should just ease up on some of those rules we put in against fighting. It's not the worst thing. They've got a business to run, and that's a big part of the business. I'm hoping for a close game. Wouldn't overtime be great? And then like some crazy, weird goal to win in overtime for Team USA, that would be awesome. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm a degenerate, so I don't know anything that goes on with hockey. I just know that the United States is -1.5 and the over-under is 5.5. So I assume that's a pretty awesome outcome for the United States if that happens.
Yeah, I bet hockey, but there's like three ways you can bet hockey, right? You can bet the money line, you can bet the goal line, or you can bet the total. I think there might actually be another way too. Yeah, I don't know.
Is 5.5 a lot?
I feel like the goal and a half would be the value there, because these usually close one goal game, it's tied up. You're in pretty good shape there. So I would take the goal and a half and take Canada and hope I lose. I win the bet, but lose the Canada loses the game by a goal. That's the way I would go.
Fair point.
Thank you.
I want to bring this up as we transition from hockey to football, because we're in your neck of the woods right now. Is Matthew Stafford, is he the domino that has to fall before anything starts going?
No, I don't think that it has to happen. I think that will happen soon. I mean, they feel like you're getting to the point now where the Rams, they have to make a move, because if they're going to get rid of Stafford, they got to sign one of these other rejects at quarterback who are available, like Aaron Rodgers. And if they wait, then Rodgers will, who I think they want, will go somewhere else. And so I guess in an indirect way, I'm agreeing with you, although I think other things are going to happen as well in the next couple of weeks as that kind of gets cranked up. And I do like the Rams, as you guys know. I'm fine with Stafford leaving, though. He had a good year last year, but the Rams have been flirting with getting rid of him for 3 years, ever since they won the Super Bowl. Like right after that, they were like, well, maybe we should move on from him. And I think they're annoyed with his wife and the whole thing. And as long as McVay's there, I buy into McVay. I think they'll be fine. They'll at least be a playoff team, whether they're a real contender or not. I don't know. But McVay knows what he's doing. He's on that line of coaches with Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin and those guys that always have good teams. So I'm fine with Stafford going somewhere else. And I think Stafford would do well with a team like the Giants for a year. He's a competent quarterback. There's a lot of teams that just need a competent quarterback. He's that guy, although he is showing signs of slowing down. There were a couple of games late in the year where he's showing signs of being an old quarterback, which is what he is. He's an old quarterback.
You know, Ben Maller, you mentioned Rodgers, right? And yesterday, I think it was Schefter who floated out the Rams as a potential landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. I think McVay's one of those coaches that he could respect and view as kind of on his same level. So I think that would be a good fit for Aaron Rodgers. But from a Rams fan standpoint, are you really making your team better by moving on from Matthew Stafford to get Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think it's a lateral move, because Rodgers would, I guess, work cheaper. I'm not really worried about the salary cap. I'm a salary cap truther. I think the salary cap is fake. So it doesn't really affect I don't worry about the financials. I don't pay the bills. It's not my problem. So they'll figure it out. But, it's a lateral move. They have this last supper mentality, the Rams, at quarterback. They're like, well, we'll figure it out. We have old quarterback. And if they bring Aaron Rodgers in for a year, they're still going to have the same problem, even if he plays well a year or two from now. But I think the Rams' identity, what they're known for now, what they think they're going to be known for, is the defense. These young players on defense that started to blossom last year, and they still have Puka Nacua on offense. And so they, again, with McVay, I think they believe, yeah, they can squeeze something out. Now, whether that's delusional or not, because Aaron Rodgers looked pretty mediocre with the Jets, and it's not like they had stiffs around him with the Jets. I thought they had some players that at least were drafted, whether that's worth anything. They were drafted high. They just didn't play well with them. So I'd be okay with it. I think it'd be fun. It'd be good for talk radio purposes to see how Rodgers and McVay work together. And McVay fancies himself the quarterback whisperer. And if he can light a fire, have a career renaissance with Aaron Rodgers, that'd be a great accomplishment for him on his coaching resume.
So with around the corner, like what I think is the greatest time of sports in the season, right? Like, I know it's different spring in L.A., spring and winter. We're in the middle of the, like, armpit of winter right now. But what is Ben Maller? For the people, what does Ben Maller look forward to the most in the spring?
Well, I love today. Spring training starting, at least the Dodgers are playing later in this weekend, and I kind of get into that, the whole vibe, watching games. You know, where I live, the games start in the morning in the Grapefruit League, and then pretty much all afternoon, and I work at night, so when I wake up, there's like spring training baseball on. I can just settle in and watch some spring training games. And then I got, if I want to watch a basketball game at night, which I usually do, I'll watch that. And then settle in for NFL free agency and then the draft. I mean, all those things are awesome. The rumors, you know, that part of it's a lot of fun. More fun than the actual transactions. I always say the rumors better than when the player actually signs the contract. And so I'm fired up for that. And yeah, the weather you guys are having, though, my God, that's that you described it perfectly, Dusty, from what you've told me and what I've seen on my weather app. The armpit, that is brutal. That's where you appreciate the good weather a little bit more than we do.
Yeah, and that's why I watch spring training baseball, Dodgers and Cubs on a random Thursday afternoon, because it's -7 and I'm looking outside going, this sucks. And then you see the birds and the trees and the sun and the crack of the bat. And I look, for me, there's nothing more therapeutic than just sitting down and watching spring training baseball.
Yeah, it is right around the corner. And now you get robo umps too. So you got that to look forward to. You know, we'll see how that plays out in baseball. And the Dodgers are supposed to be a juggernaut this year. We'll see if that actually turns out to be the case. And spring training, a great time for players to get hurt before opening day. Perfect time. Weather's wonderful. And how many pitchers on your favorite team, your Royals fan, how many pitchers will get hurt by opening day? It happens every year.
Every year.
And sure enough, I was telling a buddy of mine was texting me about the Dodgers. Oh, man, they're loaded. They're going 120 games. I said, listen, half the rotation is going to be hurt by April 1st. So we'll see what they actually send out there by the time we get to May and you know, June and all that stuff, because it's inevitable. Like, anytime I hear a coach in any sport say, oh, if we stay healthy, no one ever stays healthy, especially not in modern times where the first sign of trouble, your motto is not rub some dirt on it. It's sit down, lay down, let's give you a massage and a bath. I mean, it's not just play through it. It's like, we got issues. You should sit for, like, out of an abundance of caution, sit right for like 2 weeks. You know, that's the mantra of today.
Mine is when they come to spring training and they say he's not going to be ready for opening day. We've already seen that. What have you been doing all winter that you're not going to be ready in 6 weeks from the time you arrived at spring training?
Well, my favorite, I don't know if your favorite, my favorite is the Giancarlo Stanton, who showed up not with one bad elbow, two bad elbows. The Yankees have not played since the World Series, which I believe ended like in late October, maybe early November. So November, December, January, most of February, he's got both bad elbows. And here's a guy that looks like Adonis, another one of the workout guy, and can't stay, cannot stay healthy. And of course, we've had he's in the greatest shape of his life. These baseball writers, I feel bad for them on some level, because they got to feed content every day. And so you get he's changed his diet, and then if it doesn't work, they change their diet the next year until they find something that works. But I'm convinced these baseball scribes already have those stories written by the time they get to Arizona or Florida, and they just have to fill the names in and fill in some of the numbers. But it's already written. It's like a boilerplate on how to put a spring training story out every year.
Yeah. When I watch this hockey game, and you say you used to cover hockey, you're not a hockey guy. I'm not either, but I am dialed in for this game. Like, I'll be ready at 6 o'clock. Like, I won't even watch the local news, which I watch every night. But like, how does hockey take this? And I know Bob said earlier, fight America or hockey America fights. But I like, how does hockey take advantage of this moment and move forward with it?
Well, in the marketing world, you've got to sell, put as many billboards up and commercials on radio and TV and just wrap yourself in the flag, right? Sell that. I mean, the problem with that is you can't recreate that. Like, if you love, people love the Four Nations thing because obviously it's patriotism and you know, love your country and all that. You want to see America win, and you know, America's not known for hockey. It's Canada's the hockey country, and it's like beating them at their own sport, and then they booed the national anthem. You can't really recreate that, but you can certainly let people know about it. But if you're watching a random like St. Louis Blues game against the Blackhawks, you're not going to get the same vibe because it's a unique situation. But you hope a certain percentage of people end up falling for the sport that maybe weren't watching it, used to watch it. Like I used to watch it because I got paid to watch it. And I still like watch. I like going to hockey games. I just don't, you know, watching it on TV doesn't really do anything for me. And from talk radio purposes, as I like to say, we do broadcasting, not narrowcasting. So it's a little problem nationally to talk about it. So those are some of the issues I have. But yeah, you got to spend the money and hope there's a little bit of carryover, at least for a little while, that people that watch this are like, hey, I want to watch these guys, at least the guys that were stars in this thing tonight. And so we'll see how it goes. But it'll be fun to watch tonight. That's what we're looking for.
No doubt. Ben, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game. And we will talk to you again next week when it's a little bit warmer.
Little warmer. All right. Thank you, guys.
A little warmer.
A little bit warmer.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's 80 degrees. It's cold in L.A.
Yeah, oh, he's in warm, sunny, fire-ridden L.A. Like, you get the fires and the earthquakes or the cold. I'll take this weather every day of the week as opposed to that.
You know? It's over.
Yeah, it's over after today, of course. Ben, brought to you by the good folks over at The Landing in Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Somebody brought up a point on the text line, which I think is, again, I think, because we could talk hockey all day, and I think Bob would be okay with this if Dad's all right with it. But somebody in the text line from the 816 says, the hockey hype seems forced. Many people I know that never watched the NHL all of a sudden are fans now. So I responded. I said, well, that's because it's the United States, not a city team. And he goes, I feel that, and go States, though, but personally have no desire. And I'm the same way. I will not. Tomorrow night, I will not watch a hockey. And no, there's not probably one, but like I won't watch a hockey game moving forward. Now, I know you will, but like,
again, I'm not going to be like, I'm not setting my appointment for it. Yeah. You know, I'll sit down. If a game's on, I'll flip the game on. I'll watch a little of the game and see what happens.
But
you know?
Tonight, I will be locked the F in.
Yeah, it's like soccer. Nobody's a soccer fan, but when the United States plays in the World Cup, night. I mean, well, they're some are sicker than others department, right? Like it's the same thing as the soccer. I'm not a soccer fan at all. If the sport didn't exist, okay, my daughter would be upset, but I'd be fine. Not that big a deal. But United States is playing. Like, that's what this is about. It's about your country. It's about everybody uniting and watching, you know, our guys go against their guys for international bragging rights. And so, yeah, you may not be a hockey fan. Most people watching the game tonight won't be hockey fans, but they're a fan of sport. Mm-hmm. They're a fan of an event. They're country. A fan of a big moment. They're either a fan of America or Canada, depending on, you know, where you're located at this point in time. So I just think like this is one of those moments where you're right. You don't have to be a fan. I'm not a basketball fan. I don't like the sport. USA basketball against France in the Olympics. You're damn right I'm watching that
game.
You
won't watch golf. Neither will Mac the entire year, but I will 100% bet my life that you're watching Sunday the Masters.
If there's something compelling,
there will be. There always is.
Yeah, I'll watch.
There's
Master.
Always
every April.
Yeah.
Every April.
I mean, there will be a story Sunday where it'll either be like Rory's going for his first green jacket, or there's like a 3-way tie at the lead. There will always be something. That's the way it is.
Yeah,
like that's just the way. Unless it's 1999 and Tiger 97, and Tiger's winning by. He's got shooting at 17 under. The next closest guy's at 8.
But you're still watching that because it's as compelling as hell, and it's an event, and everybody's paying attention.
And it was historic.
Again, that's why I continue to go back, and it seems like it's the theme today. Reduce the amount of games, because when you have big events, people show up for these things. People want to be part of
the NFL.
The big right. Well, the NFL is once a week.
Yeah, you have 1 in 8 chances to go see a game at home.
Right. That's
it. Or you travel.
And people go. I mean, you talk about the celebrities that'll be there tonight. You look at the celebrities at every NFL game now. It's not just here in Kansas City. It's everywhere. Like, people want to be a part of, you know, those moments that are the where were you moments. Like, you remember where you were for certain major events. I don't know if tonight's going to be one of those. It may be one of those, but I'll tell you what, you don't want to be the guy at work that missed this game tonight because you're like, I'm not a hockey fan. Meanwhile, Betty in accounting is watching the game, and you know, Chet, you know, in sales is watching the game, and Bill in whatever department is watching the game, and everybody's talking about it. You're like, I'm not a hockey fan, so I'm not watching. Yeah, but you're missing a cultural event in America tonight. That's what this is about.
Bill Brooks will be watching.
He was on KMBZ yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, Kling texted me. He goes, Brooks is on KMBZ doing traffic today. I'm like, perfect.
Brady Tkachuk goes and scores on the outside. There's a skate on the ice.
I'm Bill Brooks.
It's like the Olympics. Like, I don't give a rip about javelin, but every 4 years, like, I'm locked
curling
in.
Curling,
like,
is the prime example of this.
Yes,
like, everybody watches curling.
Now, I would say that and swimming.
Swimming is another one.
Yeah,
swimming's another. Track and field for me has become one of my favorite sports now to watch. The sprints, I should say. The 100-meter dash. I mean, I love watching my kids do it, right, at the middle school, and watching the middle school kids do it. I'm like, my God, you can see some of these kids that are going to be really good athletes. It's such a great sport to watch. Mm-hmm. But I'm not tuning in on a Tuesday for track and field events or anything like that. But if it's a cultural event, if it's bigger than sports, which this is tonight, bigger than sports, that's when people pay attention.
Yeah. Actually, there's about 1 in 10 or 11 chances you'll see the Chiefs at home. LOL. Good text there. 620. Do you think... So I'm interested to know this. Boston, very proud of their city.
Oh, God, yes.
Rowdy people.
Yeah.
Sometimes not for the best.
Right.
They're 100% booing the Canadians when they come out.
Well, I don't know.
Not the anthem.
Right.
But they might.
The players, they should boo the players.
Yeah, right.
The anthem, I'm not a huge fan of booing the anthem. Like, that's just not my thing, right? You may not like this country or that country. Like, Canada booing our anthem over the last week was kind of low rent. I'll be honest with you. It's very disrespectful because they show the players and the coaches and you hear all these boos and these guys are playing for their country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're booing the anthem of their country. And we didn't do that the other night. I know Binkley was very disappointed about the fact that, you know, the Americans didn't boo the Canadian anthem when they were playing Finland or Sweden or whoever it was, you know, in that game. I hope we boo the play. Yeah, booing the players. I have no issue with it at all. I mean, that's sports, right? But booing the anthem, like, don't do that tonight if you're in Boston, because it didn't have a good look when the Canadians did it to the United States anthem.
Do listeners fall in the category of the Fesco thanks for listening?
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you guys haven't used the Olympics with swimming, gymnastics, or any other sport. We're not fans, but we watch to cheer on our country.
But they may be on the app, and we just talked about that.
I literally use swimming as an analogy.
Yeah, no, I will give them that benefit of the doubt. There is a 14-second delay now on the FM and then the app and the buffering. Like, I'll give you a pass on that. I'll give you a pass on that if you correct yourself. Oh, I just heard it. My bad. Sorry. But, you know, curling is the same way. They got a curling place up in North Kansas City. We went a few years ago and curled. And you think that sport's easy. And then you get out there on the ice and you're like, oh, my God, this is the hardest thing to do in the world.
Really? Like, you're like, all I got to do is throw this football.
Yeah,
these bowling pins, and then you're like,
exactly.
My arm hurts.
Your arm hurts. Yeah. I mean,
it's harder than I thought.
It's a lot harder, right? It's fun. But
you got to throw it underhand.
You got to throw it underhand. Exactly. Snap it between your legs. Knock all those pins down, right?
From the 913, guys, I love the show, but I have to ask, what is the deal looking like for you guys to promote hockey? Haha. I mean, it's the United States versus Canada, man.
Look,
there's, if somebody wanted to endorse me for this, I would absolutely be like, you know what, hockey's the greatest sport in the world.
Yes, these
guys are super talented. Can you ice skate, hit a hockey puck, and score and have a hot chick as your wife? Good luck. But no, I don't know. I mean, look, this is just what it is. Like, when the Ryder Cup happens, like, I'm sorry, it'll be a talking point. And then somebody says from 816, Canadian National Anthem, Boston. Oh, yeah, they're getting booed.
Yeah, but they didn't the other night, though.
But
so
it wasn't in Boston, was it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, it's all in Boston.
Yeah.
Okay. But this is, like, the big one,
yeah,
right?
This is the big one. I mean, I'm sure there will be boos. I'm just not a fan of that. I just let the anthem play.
No, I'm with you. Just, you know. What is it? Like, silence is a virtue?
Yeah.
Like,
I think you send more of a message if you don't acknowledge somebody than if you boo somebody, right?
Yeah, like, to me, like, obviously, like, Dennis Gates didn't want to get fined, but, like, to me, it's almost more disrespectful to not storm the court when you upset a team.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, they didn't storm?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Right, yeah,
wow. It's
right.
Like, well, we expected to win.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a move right there. Same type of thing. Like, if you don't boo the anthem and you're just silent, I think that sends a bigger message, because everybody's in Canada. Oh, they're going to boo our anthem. And if you don't even acknowledge their anthem, that sends, like, you're not that as important as we are. And then cheer through the U.S. anthem and sing it and make that arena come alive, and everybody's singing Home of the Brave at the end. And
then,
like,
once everything's
magical,
done, just start a USA chant and
list the roof off.
Like,
I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that right now. Like, damn.
America!
That's
F yeah!
I mean, but that's what this is about. That's what this night's about. So you can sit there and complain about, oh, hockey talk. Well, then you don't have a pulse on what America is talking about today.
I bet the girls at Olive Bloom are closing early to go watch this hockey in Great Floral Place. But yeah, so text line, we need you to stay here. 3 minutes, 35 seconds. Coming back, we have a smasher passing, and we need your advice and we need your help on what it is. I'll tell you what it is on the other side. Mac, Bob, Dusty, let's 96.5 The Fan, you're home.
for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
All right. So my mind went berserk yesterday when I saw this picture that we're doing for Smash or Pass. Smash.
Beat Smash.
Ice cream nachos. Seems brilliant.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, like, how do we not think about this ahead of time, right? Like,
you got to eat them quick, I would assume, because obviously the crema will melt. But it had, so think of your nacho tray, right? Where the cheese is, they had caramel sauce. Where the chips are, they had waffle cone chips.
Little waffle cone chips, yeah.
And then they had another compartment added where they put like soft serve ice cream. Smash, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course. I mean, it was like the perfect dessert, right? You had about six of these waffle cone chips. Mm-hmm. You can dip it in the ice cream, dip it in the caramel. I'd get hot fudge or maybe peanut butter sauce at the times that they have and do that instead of the caramel if you could choose. But if you couldn't, caramel's fine as well. And then you eat them like ice cream nachos. I'm like, that is a brilliant idea. And it was also a brilliant idea that they weren't put together for you because, you know, Kling doesn't like nachos. We had that conversation, right?
I know that. Yeah.
And so he complained about the sogginess or whatever, the chip.
But that's the best one.
I know. I agree. But if you put the ice cream nacho, like, I think it was Curb where Larry's like, would you tell her to stop taking all the stuff off the nachos? Or what was I? Was it Curb that I was watching?
No, you're probably watching. I think you should leave. He's like, can you tell her to stop eating all the nachos with the stuff on it?
Yeah, the stuff on it. Yeah, and the waiter came over. Was that?
Did you just, that? It's a Tim Robinson skit from I Think You Should Leave.
Okay. Is that what it was from? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so like the ice cream ones, if you assemble ahead of time, it's going to be a disaster, right?
What
so,
are you talking about? That's what he says to you. You just literally told that guy something. He came over here and
That's
then he
right.
said something.
Yeah,
I'm taking all the stuff off the nachos.
Yeah.
I don't even know him.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's great.
But like you couldn't do a pre-assembled ice cream nacho. You have to do it individually. Yeah. And it looked like the perfect dessert.
It's a deconstructive
right?
ice cream cone.
Yeah. Like the ballpark should really do those this year.
Honestly, like it seems great because I feel like what's the rotation? You take the waffle chip, dip it in the caramel, then scoop the ice cream, or do you go the ice cream, then the caramel?
I would go ice cream, then caramel. That's the way I would go.
No, I think the ice cream's got to be last.
So it sticks to the the caramel?
Yes.
See, I'm thinking about getting the caramel to the ice cream.
I don't know what it is, but I just want to punch people that say caramel.
Was that what I said?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say it.
I think it's caramel, caramel. Like
I say caramel, I think.
Like pecan, I want to punch somebody. Oh, it's pecan.
Pecan.
Do you ever get people that come to you, they're like, yeah, you know, it's, you know. Do you have any tomatoes or tomato? Can I have some tomatoes with my salad?
Like nobody like, says tomatoes.
Just like nobody should say, like, do you have any caramel for the ice cream? I'd be like, get out.
Leave.
I mean, somebody says if anyone passes, they should be blocked from the text line. I don't know, man. The question I have for the text line, 913-586-7965. If we've gone this much time in humanity without thinking of ice cream nachos, is there another form of, because I literally could not think of it.
I thought there's one.
Okay.
There's one that I could truly think of.
Yeah.
And believe me, I thought a lot about this.
Okay.
Sushi. You take those little rice cake crackers with the sushi, and then you have the soy sauce and wasabi as your dip. You put the sushi on the rice cracker, dip it in soy sauce and wasabi and eat it.
I'm in.
Or you could do like almost like sheet pan sushi nachos because you have to have the meat. Like where was your
the meat's where the ice cream was.
Okay.
Yeah. Whether you want whatever you want. You know, I know some people like rolls. I like, you know, just the raw fish and, you know, I don't even eat the rice. I just take the raw fish, dip it in the sushi and whether they cut it, sashimi or
sashimi. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I like. So I would take the like little rice cake crackers like those cone ones. Whatever fish I want, and then soy sauce and wasabi mixed in where the caramel is, and go with that. I couldn't really think of anything else from a deconstructed nacho standpoint.
Like I was thinking of that. I was like, what else would be like a good in nacho form?
You couldn't really do anything like breakfast wise unless you did like mini pancake sausage and syrup, but that's the mini pancake sausage and syrup. Or bacon or, you know, whatever, you know.
I mean, I guess you could do like, yeah, because like breakfast, you have like the French toast sticks. Like that used to make my toes curl at age 7.
Oh, yeah, the great starts breakfast. We go to Burger King French toast sticks. Oh, holy crap.
You talk about a 6-year-old that felt something downstairs.
Oh, my God.
You got a French toast stick.
Do they still have the French toast sticks at Burger King? Oh, they were just
I don't know if they're the same, but you got the little like ramekin of syrup French toast.
Oh, it was hot. Oh, it was great. And they were, it was just fried bread is what it was. Oh, but it was good. They were so good.
There's something about it.
Those French toast sticks at Burger King back in the day. It was like the pan pizza back in the day too.
Yeah,
you know?
We used to have what was it? In middle school and elementary school, we'd have breakfast day and they gave you a triangle hash brown. They gave you French toast sticks, something they called eggs. And then like
powdered eggs are the worst.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Made in a carton.
Yeah.
It was weird, man. It was
they turn blue halfway through the day because they've been sitting there. Yeah. Mass produced eggs is very low on my list of.
I guess somebody said you could do like a mini pizza.
You could,
nachos.
Yeah, that you makes could. Sense. Little do pizza little crust dough, rounds. Yeah, yeah, a little of that
marinara cheese and then whatever
your
meat.
Yeah, have your toppings. Damn. Yeah, you could do that.
Somebody says French toast could never cross my mind.
Damn right.
There'd be no strips of bacon on the side. No eggs of any kind. If it wasn't for breakfast. If it wasn't for breakfast.
Preach.
Now I want to go to Burger King and get some French toast.
I do, too. I'm not going to lie.
They're so good. But I don't know where Burger King is.
There's one out by me, like 135th
and
Quivira.
Is there one over here? Isn't there a Burger King like right over here on Johnson?
There used to be. I don't know if there is anymore.
Yeah.
There used to be one at like by Oak Park Mall. I think that's been turned into a Popeyes.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't.
Yeah, Popeyes burnt down over here. It's gone.
Over here on Johnson Drive, it did?
Like a while ago. Corned beef hash is the nachos for breakfast.
I mean, I understand that, but you're not.
It's more of like a skillet.
You're using a fork with that. You know,
as like I've gotten older, I've realized that skillets are the way to go for breakfast.
Skillet. It's everything in one. Yeah, it's easy.
It's easy. Because like I used to just get like the breakfast meal where you get like egg or two, a sausage or bacon, hash browns, and then like you can get a gravy on a biscuit. And then I would just end up like meshing it all together like a slop lord. And then I was like, oh, I could just get a skillet where everything's
together
perfectly layered.
For you. Yeah. I'm trying to think of another Burger King, like off the top of my head. Not that I'm
somebody
searching
says there's
for
one
Burger
just
Kings,
like
but
five blocks south of us on Metcalf. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is. Right down here. Hello. Yeah, right there by Duncan. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. right across from, like, CVS and all that.
Yeah. But, like, Burger King isn't one of those places you seek out. It seems like a place you end up.
Yeah.
True.
You know?
Like, when's the last time you had a Whopper?
Well, I know. Years. When my wife turned 49, I told you, I took her to Burger
That's
King.
Right.
My
queen gave her the
Burger King, gave her a crown and everything. She enjoyed that. We had the Whopper Jr. It was just delightful.
Somebody says Wendy's has the French toast sticks, and they're phenomenal.
Are they really? Are they better than the old school Burger King
What's
ones?
Dave cooking over there? Because Dave's double's been on my mind for a while now.
Dude,
their
commercials, like they have this triple bacon cheeseburger now that I've seen
advertised.
It's the
son of a Baconator.
The son of a Baconator. Yeah, I'm like, that thing looks good, man.
Went to Wendy's yesterday.
Son
it was great.
Of a Baconator.
I mean, that you went to where?
Wendy's.
Yesterday?
$5 biggie bag.
$5 footlong?
$5 biggie bag.
He's a growing boy.
He is a growing. Did you put your sour cream on that?
Biggie bag, extra junior bacon cheeseburger, under 10 bucks.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, all the fast food places now are coming back in price. It's funny, right?
Yeah. You get the $5, $7, and $9 deluxe box at Taco Bell.
When's the $5 footlong coming back to Subway?
Oh.
The best Subway in the world was that place across the street from the stadium. Vern knows about that Subway. We can talk
to Vern here on the other
side. What that was like walking into that Subway.
What are they bringing the 5 for $5 back at Arby's?
That was an appetizer in college.
It's simply too good. There's your second I think you should leave reference text line. Come on now, listen to the show. It's in one of our bits.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
That's right. You're driving with the Travel Crooner, baby. Coming up on the other side, our guy. Josh Vernier, live in Arizona, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Royals baseball.
Smash.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station, 965 The Fan.